this week's episode of the Touchpoints Podcast. I'm Matthew Carnegie, one of the pastors here at East Point Bible Church. This week, we'll be continuing our All Scripture mini-series, exploring the different sections of Scripture and showing how to better read them and grow in our faith when doing so. Our topic this time is the law. This is one of the most misunderstood and misused parts of the Bible by Christians and non-Christians alike, so it's worth our while to spend an extra minute really examining what the law is and what it's trying to do so we know how God intends for us to be changed by it. The law, or Torah to the Jews, is the name given to the first five books of the Bible, and for the first few generations that Israel was a nation, that was the only Bible they had. It became so foundational to who they were that throughout the rest of Scripture, what we now call the entire Old Testament, was often referred to simply as the law, even as other parts of the Bible were being written and recognized as God's revelation. Israel recognized that everything God wanted to reveal about himself was there in the law, even if only in seed form for the rest of Scripture to flesh out. So for them, Torah wasn't just the rules and regulations for their religion, it was their religion. This is important for us today because even though we are no longer under the old covenant spelled out in the law, we still find the basis for everything else revealed in Scripture laid down for us in those first five books. So it is not an exaggeration to say that we as Christians have to understand the law if we are to understand the rest of our Bibles. For example, we cannot make much sense of our faith in the world around us without the book of Genesis, especially the first 2.5 chapters. Without that opening section, we don't even have a gospel to share. We can't evangelize on the basis that we are accountable to God without first establishing that He is creator of everything. We can't explain God wanting a unique relationship with us without showing that we are made in His image with specific privileges and responsibilities that come from that relationship. We can't demonstrate that our sinful nature separates us from God without discussing the fall of Adam and Eve. And we can't point to hope in Christ without showing that He fulfills the promise God made to overcome man's fall. And those are just some of the concepts rooted in those first 2.5 chapters that demonstrate core spiritual realities to which the culture around us is blind. Through the rest of the law, we see God working out the promised seed of the woman from Genesis 3 through the people He chose until He makes them into the nation of Israel. Time after time in the narrative sections that follow, God shows His faithfulness in caring for His people and desiring to bless them, as well as His sovereignty as His power brings those blessings about in ways that prove He is God. From the disproportionate blessings God gave to the patriarchs to the Exodus, where God delivered the entire nation of Israel from the mightiest nation on earth. From establishing a covenant with that nation to be His chosen nation on earth, to leading and providing for them supernaturally for 40 years in the desert, our Creator put His concern and ability on behalf of His people on full display, as well as His validity as the only true God in the universe, no matter what other beliefs or forces were arrayed against Him or His people. If you want to see proof that God exists and cares for those who follow Him, read the law. However, we call this section the law because a sizable percentage of the text contains the actual stipulations of the covenant God made with Israel. How should we view these portions of text? Do they apply to us today? Well, the New Testament gives us some much-needed clarity and insight on the law in the sense of the actual covenant itself. For example, Hebrews chapters 8 and 9, quoting the promise of a new covenant from Jeremiah chapter 31, shows that we are no longer under the old covenant that included the law, and Galatians chapter 3 explains how the law cannot save anyone by itself because everyone fails to live up to God's standards. Also, Romans chapter 7 assures us that even though it doesn't save us, the law was good because it demonstrated to us that we are sinful by nature and need salvation. Even Jesus Himself validated the law by coming not to nullify it, but to fulfill it on our behalf, as He explained in Matthew 5:17. From these and several other references to the law throughout the New Testament, we see that as Christians today, the law is still valuable to us because it reveals who God is by seeing His standard for humanity, even if Christ was needed to fulfill it. And knowing who God is and being changed by that reality is the ultimate purpose of all Scripture. So even though that does provide a good perspective on how to view the law as a whole, that still doesn't address how we use the individual laws themselves. Do I need to sacrifice sheep and bulls today, or is that a law that no longer applies? If it doesn't, which ones do, and how do I tell? What am I supposed to learn from reading about a bunch of rituals that we no longer do in church? Here's where knowing the purpose of each of the kinds of law helps you to understand how to learn from even the details we don't still practice today, so that you can be blessed by reading all of your Bible. Take a look at the dietary laws in Leviticus 11, for instance. God told the Israelites which animals they could and couldn't eat, but he was basing the distinction not because any animals were actually immoral to eat in of themselves, something made clear in the New Testament, but because he wanted Israel to be a distinct people from among the surrounding nations by using cultural distinctions to emphasize the religious distinction between them. We don't need to copy the dietary restrictions, which is great because I love bacon, but we should learn the principle behind them that God's people should strive to be holy, as in set apart or distinct, as God is holy, as he says in that chapter. Also, in that chapter and the ritual laws of the chapters to follow, he makes distinctions many times not as merely okay and not okay, but as clean and unclean. Through those laws, he's trying to paint pictures of what holiness before him looks like, since none of us are holy enough on our own to actually stand in the presence of God. Which brings us to the sacrificial system, illustrating the price to be paid for sin and how vital it is to take care of that to be acceptable to God. And all the details in that system point to what Christ actually accomplished for us to make us truly clean before God, not just ritually so. The main laws we would still follow today are the moral prohibitions, which are for the most part restated in the New Testament anyway, but not because we're under that law, but rather because they endure as reflections of the character of who God is or what he's created us to be. Several are even referred to as abominations, meaning they are against God's created natural order, regardless of whether they're in the Old Covenant or not. The reason they're in those laws is because he is also prescribing punishments for Israel as a theocratic nation back then to enforce that we as the church, spread out among secular nations today, don't have the authority to carry out. So as we begin to zoom back out to look at the law as a whole, I hope you can appreciate that those books of our Bible aren't just there to provide some interesting stories or Jewish rituals that no longer apply to Christians, but rather, we as Christians today should be learning something about who God is and his will for all humanity from every detail on those pages. Yes, sometimes we need to step back and ask what's going on in a particular passage to get the context we need to understand how to read those verses. But we should never feel like it's okay to skip over them when it's not readily apparent how to directly apply them to ourselves. If we don't take the time to really think about what we're reading, we not only run the risk of ignoring God's revelation to us, but also of misapplying something to today that was meant to teach us something entirely different. I know that sounds like work, but that's okay, because something as important as God's word, which Jesus quotes from the law as being as important as the food we eat to survive, should be worth some extra effort. Knowing our God and his will for us should be worth that effort. I ask you to consider that principle whenever you're reading all Scripture, since every word reveals our Creator to us. I pray this has been edifying to you and that you have a great week in the grace and peace of Jesus Christ.